film reviews and movie news with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.
Yes, it is. It's film reviews and movie news with me, Stuart Pink. And some say he has a secret ability to time travel with a magic Oyster card. It's Mark Searby.
Anybody still use an Oyster card? That's the weird thing, isn't it?
Do you know, you don't anymore.
You don't know.
Just uses their phone. Just wafts it over the
phone or your standard debit card, I guess, credit card as well. But I've got an Oyster card still. Now you're making me think, have I still got money on it?
Yeah, that's what happens if you get to zone 20.
Yeah.
Unheard of zone. Can't imagine what the fares are like.
That's where you do actually time travel. You really do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Need the time travel to be able to afford it.
Yes. Yes. It's true. Yeah.
It's like delay to your trains. It'll be 50 years.
Yeah. Well, and a big chunk of money as well to get there.
Some planned engineering works.
Yeah. Oh, a boss as well. A boss. Yeah. Got to have a boss in there as well. You know, planned engineering works. So rail replacement. Here we go. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, there were leaves on the track.
Leaves on the track as well. Yeah, all of the great ones. All the great ones.
All that. It's yeah. Classic. Greatest hits. Greatest hits. How are you, sir?
Very well, thank you. Very well.
Good.
Do you know, interesting week this week, really, in terms of films, isn't it? Because it's the first week for a while where we haven't led with a film that is in the cinema. Instead, obviously, we're going to lead with a film that is on Disney+. However, this film, Turning Red, which we'll review in a sec, was meant to be in cinemas, and it was only start of the year, I think, where Disney turned around and said, "Oh, we're just going to put it on Disney Plus. That's it. You know, there's not going to be a in cinemas and on Disney Plus." Like Encanto, you know, Encanto in cinemas briefly and then on Disney Plus within 4 weeks, but it's still playing in cinemas. Encanto isn't doing very well. Turning Red, no, straight on there. And I find that weird because this is the new film from Disney Pixar. And normally, they're the ones that do really well at the box office. So I was quite surprised when they turned around and said, no, this is just on Disney+. It's
just a bit of a marketing experiment to see if they can do that, get away with that.
I can't imagine it is. They've had marketing experiments for the past 2 years. You know, this is the thing. So I'm not sure. I don't know what the thinking is behind it. It's a bit strange, I've got to be honest. Anyway, Turning Red on Disney.
Did it make you turn red?
It's on Disney Plus now. It's about 13-year-old Mei Li, who turns into a giant red panda whenever she gets excited.
Oh, that sounds like I've met someone like that.
Right, right.
Yep.
And do you know, obviously talking about Disney Pixar, we've reviewed the past several movies, Disney Pixar, that have been in cinemas and on Disney Plus and whatever else. I've been a bit down on them, you know, Luca, not really a fan of. Soul, I wasn't really a fan of either. Onward, not a fan of.
He's a tough man to play.
Yeah, yeah. I felt like they'd sort of lost their way a little bit in terms of storytelling. Thankfully, with Turning Red, they are back on the right track because it's a delight from start to finish. It's really colourful. The animation is top-notch. The story is really good as well. Also, now here's the thing about the story, which I was watching. I thought, we haven't seen this a lot in recent years. This story where the girl turns into a giant red panda when she gets excited, is basically a metaphor for puberty, because Mei suddenly finds her body changing. I mean, granted, puberty doesn't turn you into a giant red panda, but, you know, the point is still there. So Mei finds her body's changing. She doesn't really know how to deal with it. Also, her and her three friends are very much in love with the latest boy band who just happened to be playing in their city in a few weeks' time. Now, what this film does really well is hide the main point of the storyline, which I think is all about puberty, inside the cute and fluffy story of Mei changing into a red panda. It's a really good bit of writing. I'm really impressed with how they've done this. You know, I think everybody will be taken as Mei Li as when she turns into the giant red panda, because she's so cuddly. She's just so cuddly. How I just want to cuddle.
That's a great bit of animation.
It is, yeah, it is. Yeah. Yet there's a family curse around this.
Oh no.
Yes, yes, yes.
Runs in that family.
So the film also talks about ancestry and heritage as well. I mean, these are some heavy subjects, yet Turning Red makes it look easy every step of the way. There's a lot of humour in here as well. I found myself smiling all the way through the film, I've got to be honest.
Excellent.
It's just really entertaining, along with tackling some very heavy subjects. The other thing I should mention is the animation, because it's about 7 different styles of animation all rolled into one, and somehow it totally works. Like, all the adults, all the humans, I should say, are your typical Pixar type bubbly people, you know, which they've got in stock, let's be honest here. However, the giant red panda looks like it looks like it's related to Sully from Monsters, Inc. Because, I mean, the hair design is amazing in it. Absolutely amazing. Just looks super soft. I was quite taken with it, you know, quite mesmerized by how the hair
so you have to just touch this.
Yeah, it genuinely felt like you wanted to touch it. It looked like it was the softest hair you'd ever touch. The background animation, I think, is very much homage in the work of Studio Ghibli. And in particular, its co-founder, Isao Takahata, whose work people might know from Only Yesterday or The Tale of Princess Kaguya as well. You know, the background itself, as much as I'm saying Studio Ghibli, the background work does look like a love letter to a lot of Eastern animation, basically, you know, Eastern Asian animation. I think it's also interesting to note that when Mei Li and her friends do get excited before she changes into a panda, their eyes glaze over in some sort of like manga animation style. That, you know, it's really interesting to see how they've done all of this. It's clever work. It really is. So, you know, Turning Red, right? Okay, it takes its influences from loads of different places, puts them all together, and you get something really delightful from it. The thing was, you know, me and you have reviewed a lot of animation over the years. We really have. And I'm a big lover of animation, wherever it may come. If there's good animation, I'm going to watch it. We reviewed for some bad animation as well, haven't we, Stuart? Some really bad animation.
Oh, yeah.
We have, yes. Yeah.
We've been to all ends of the spectrum.
We have, yeah. So, I mean, I love watching animation. I really do. The thing that that Turning Red reminded me of the most, and that's because it is ultimately the same story, just for adults, is Turning Red is a lighter version of Netflix's cartoon series, Agretsuko, which is all about a woman who, when she gets angry, she goes to karaoke and belts out metal tunes and turns into a panda, basically. A bear. So Turning Red, I mean, Agretsuko is kind of a bit more adult. It deals with a lot more of adulting life. You know, she works in an office and she's trying to get through with that. She's trying to find a boyfriend. And then when she's really angry, she goes and sings metal songs. I'm not saying heavy metal. I'm saying real metal songs. And she turns into, you know, this character. Turning Red is kind of the lighter version of that. Okay. Which is no bad thing in my book at all. No bad thing. So going back to what I was saying about Pixar, more of this, please, because this is really good.
Marvellous. So Turning Red on Disney Plus only.
Yes, yes.
Which may have made you turn red, but the film's great.
Exactly, yeah. As I said, just disappointed. I would love to have seen this animation on the big screen. Would have loved to have seen it. As I said, even just for the background stuff, that would have been seen on the big screen. It would have been amazing. But unfortunately, just on Disney Plus. But then, as we keep saying, most of us have got big screen TVs, great sound systems, everything else that goes with it. So it's not, it's not as though we're completely missing. It's not as though we're missing it on the big screen. It's going to VHS quality.
Yeah, good. So this is the kind of thing you definitely need to see if you can track down and go into Disney store and just rub the toy
yes.
that's really going to come out.
Yes.
There's going to be a panda in there.
Yeah, there's going to be a panda. There's going to be loads of toys for it and, you know, deservedly so. But yeah, I'm not sure if people like me and you, you know, middle-aged men, should be going in the Disney store, just stood there rubbing plush pandas. I've got to be
find
honest.
Find a nearby child just to say, can you come in there with me?
Yeah, just while I hold this panda and just look weird. Yeah, rub its soft hair. You know, yeah, it's a bit weird. It's a bit weird. Yeah, maybe we won't do that. But, you know, for anybody else who does go into the Disney store
kids,
quite a lot.
Nieces, nephews.
Exactly. Anybody who does go in there, yeah, let us know. Because, yeah, I genuinely look at that hair and I'm like, it looks so soft. I'd love to just, you know. I imagine it would be a nice calming influence.
Reminds me of Sean Connery's beard.
Okay.
And what else you got for us, Mark?
Okay, so on Netflix, The Adam Project. This is about a time-traveling pilot who teams up with his younger self and his late father to come to terms with his past while saving the future. Of course.
Ooh.
Of course.
Wow. Okay. So he's got that time-travelling noise to card as well.
He has, yes, yes. It's, you know, it's going... yeah, he's going quite a few places. So this is obviously one of Netflix's big blockbuster movies. You know, when they, like at the start of the year or something, they were like, yes, we're going to release 800 big blockbuster movies this year and it's all going to be on a platform. You won't be able to see it in cinemas, blah, 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 blah. And we spent £1 billion on each one or, you know, whatever it is, basically, on the budget. Honestly, I don't know where the majority of the budget has gone on this. I mean, yes, okay. It's gone on the actors, you know, Ryan Reynolds, Mark Ruffalo, Catherine Keener in here. So I get that.
Yep.
But I don't know where the rest of the money's gone from because the film looks like it was made by Roger Corman Studios, which, look, isn't a slight on Corman because he knows how to churn out low-budget movies that turn a decent profit. But this is a big blockbuster movie with big stars and big action. So why does it look like it was all shot in a big warehouse with one giant green screen instead of any background at all? Like, we won't even put a plant in there. We're going to CGI in it at all. You know, look, and the thing is, you know, talking about green screens, I know the majority of sci-fi movies are filmed these days just in front of green screens. I get that. But this just looks atrocious. The actual staging and the props look okay, but when they're put next to the digital backgrounds or the spaceship or some of the special super-duper weapons that they fire lasers from or something, you can see how bad the CGI really is. And it reminded me, it took me back to playing PlayStation 1. Because what it genuinely looked, you know, in this day and age, you look at PlayStation 1, you go, that looks awful. You go, yeah, but at the time, it was amazing. But it's so bad. It really is. And once you see it, you can't unsee it, which is Catherine Keener's Maya Serene, who is the villain of the piece, has a younger self fighting alongside her, right? When you see the hideous job they have done of trying to not only de-age Catherine Keener, but then put her face... The de-aged face digitally on top of somebody else's body, it's awful.
Oh,
they've had to stretch Catherine Keener's face from the top and the bottom basically, so it will fit onto the other person's facial structure, and it looks horrendous. It's so bad. It is so bad, and. They've not done anything about the voice, so she still has Catherine Keener's voice. I mean, Catherine Keener is now I think she's in her 50s, to be honest. So she's still got that, you know, the de-aged Catherine Keener is in her 20s. Well, we all had a slightly
exactly
different voice. Instead, what they've done is they've got exactly the same voice. It's just atrocious. It's another part of the entire film that's just atrocious. I mean, the whole film is really bad because it lifts story parts from things like The Avengers and E.T. and Back to the Future and a million other sci-fi films that are so much better than this uninteresting, uninspiring movie. And also, while I'm at it, Ryan Reynolds, okay, can we have a film where Ryan Reynolds does not play Ryan Reynolds?
Oh, we love Ryan Reynolds.
The sarcastic shtick. The sarcastic shtick is wearing very thin now. And the problem is as well is we know he can do serious because if anybody has seen the film he did called Buried, that he's brilliant in that.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. No sarcasm, no nothing. He can do it. But Ryan Reynolds, playing Ryan Reynolds, is now really tiresome. I'm bored of it. It's getting boring. He is going to turn into Bruce Willis if he's not careful. He's going to turn into, you know.
Oh, that's a good point.
That's the problem. It's the same character in different films. You know, it's the same here. Same Ryan Reynolds, same performance. You could have taken this performance out and put it in, what was that terrible car movie, Six Underground, was it? Or something like that was shot in Italy.
Yeah. Oh, I remember you didn't.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same performance time and again. We're seeing it all the time. It's just boring. He needs to change it up. But then when you're being paid a gazillion dollars, I guess you go, well, just play me. You know, that's the thing. There's no artistic endeavor here at all, I've got to be honest. I do.
Did the little boy play Ryan Reynolds as well? Is there like kind of double Ryan Reynolds here?
Yes.
Is this supposed to be younger him?
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's a young lad playing his younger self. Fortunately, they haven't de-aged Ryan Reynolds. It is a different actor playing the younger character, basically.
Yeah.
I do note with interest that this film was meant to be made in 2012 with Tom Cruise in the lead role.
Oh.
But it didn't happen for one thing or another. I think even 10 years ago, this film would have been out of date. It's very dated.
Oh.
Now, it seems even more dated because of the hideous CGI and the seen it all before storytelling. We've been here before, many years ago. It's as generic as they come, and it has the most generic title in the world.
It is a little daft, isn't it?
It is.
The Adam Project.
The Adam Project. Have you seen the Adam Project?
I looked at a poster and thought it was going to be set in the Eden Project.
Yeah, exactly.
It's difficult to distinguish.
And, you know, the poster itself is the most generic. Let's just have some floaty heads above a little bit of a scene at the bottom.
Star Wars.
Exactly. It's the most generic type of poster you can get. Floaty head. Poster, most generic you can get. The Adam Project succeeds in being the most generic on every single level, apart from how much money it's spent at really bad CGI.
The generic project.
Yes, the generic project.
Oh, this is a shame. I thought this would be good fun.
Well, I mean, I saw the trailer and I thought this could be interesting. Okay, you know, but then, oh, no. No.
We're going to have to get Ryan Reynolds on the show.
Just so I... Yeah, well, but then, do you know... Yeah.
So, The Adam Project, just... Which is it? Netflix?
Netflix. It's streaming exclusively on Netflix.
They said it's by the same guy who made Free Guy.
Yeah, which...
Free Guy's,
do you know,
just
which,
better use of your time.
Which boggles my mind, because I like Free Guy. It's a good film. It's a fun movie. And yet... The relationship between Ryan Reynolds and Shawn Levy, who's the director on this one and on Free Guy, seems to have disappeared. Like, I don't know what they've made here. So, yeah, you're
it's
right.
A bit too free.
Yeah. The Free Guy Project. Sounds better.
Yeah, I think so. Excellent. You got one more film for us on the podcast, Mark. What we got?
So we should talk about Red Rocket, because this has been getting some awards nominations. It's been getting a lot of love around the place. I've noticed quite a few places and fellow film critics giving it huge reviews. So I thought, you know what, we should talk about it as well. This is about Mikey Saber, who is a washed up adult film star who returns to his small Texas hometown. Not that anybody really wants him back, though. So look, let's be right. I've just said adult film star. This is okay. Not some hardcore adult sex movie.
Bruce Willis.
Yeah. So don't expect to be seeing lots of nudity or lots of sex or anything else like that. I mean, there's moments of nudity and sex in it, but it's not the crux of the film. Okay. In fact,
okay, fair enough.
The film is much more about a man who has lost his way. Basically, Mikey's return to his hometown is almost him returning with his tail between his legs. Maybe pun intended there, Stuart. Sorry. you know, he is broke. he's on the outside of everything. Even his wife and his mother-in-law aren't happy to see him at all, but they take pity on him. They allow him to stay as long as he gets a job and he can pay the rent and get some food as well. The problem is that small town Texas doesn't have much call for a permatanned, dashingly handsome ex-adult film star. It's just not required. So, you know, him trying to get a job is a bit of a struggle. He is told at times he's overqualified, which is hilarious, really. I mean, the amount of time, I imagine there's people listening who have been, I've been told I've been overqualified when I just want a job. So, you know, so here we have a guy who really was, when you think about it, the epitome of the American dream, yet is now on the American scrap heap in terms of his entire life. So it is, the film is really a stark warning about the pitfalls of believing you are made for life and also believing your own hype. You know, I think the movie takes a real pot shot at not just the adult entertainment business, but also show business in general. And it sort of nails it in terms of depicting this guy who was once the hot property in LA.
Oh, man.
But now cannot get arrested in small town America at all. There's another plot running through this film as well, and it's one of Mikey trying to seduce the local donut shop girl. She's called Strawberry, which I think is a great name.
Cool. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
I mean, at first, I'll be honest, when I was watching it, I'm thinking this feels like a preyed upon storyline. Like, you know, this is not sitting well with me at all. However, the longer it plays out, it turns out that Strawberry is fully aware of what Mikey is trying to do, and she starts to play him at his own game. And this is where I just thought, this is really good. This is some really interesting stuff. You've got this sort of push-pull type relationship going on between them, and Strawberry is much smarter than I think many will give her credit for. And this, for me, I thought was the most enjoyable part of the film, because she's watching, you just watch her manipulate and tease and demand Mikey do all of these things, knowing full well he will do absolutely anything she says because he thinks he's got a chance with her, when in actual fact she's like, no, I'm playing you at your own game. You know, it's the way that she has this power over this guy who used to be really powerful. And at times I'm thinking, I know this movie is about a male ex-adult film star, but it feels like it's moving towards a feminist movie with the way that Strawberry is dealing with Mikey.
She sounds like a strong kind of character.
Yeah, she is. She is. And she's really funny as well. I'll say that. She is very funny. I really liked her. Yeah, I really did. You know, and I think herein lies the rub of this film, basically. It's one that, on the surface, it looks like it's going to be, you know, hey, it's about an adult film star, you know. hey, we should be. It's not that at all. That's the thing. It's a story about failed dreams and then trying to reconnect with yourself and trying to reconnect with those around you and actually maybe finding something back there where you were afraid to go. You were worried about going back home because, you know, your life has sort of crumbled around you. So This is not the film you expect it to be, and it's all the better for that.
Nice. Does it leave you feeling good, or does it? Is it a tough watch?
It's not a tough watch at all. As I said, I really enjoyed watching this. It was kind of, it got a nice humour to it, but then it got a bit of sadness as well, because obviously, as I said, you know, here's a guy who still thinks he's really important and then goes back to small town Texas and isn't. I just think it's a really good film. It's got a lot going for it, and it's got a lot of themes in there that are more prescient now than ever before, really.
Lovely. So Red Rocket, where?
So this is in cinemas now.
Oh, right. Okay. It's in the cinemas. Best enjoyed with a popcorn or ice cream? What are you going with?
ice cream. Nothing noisy. So no popcorn. Ice cream. Thank you. Or donuts. Hang on. Strawberry works at the donut shop, so it should be donuts, really.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, it should be donuts. Yes.
Got to be done. It's one of the poster. but I don't think I want that one.
No, 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 because that, Mikey's coming through the middle of it, isn't he? He's popping through the middle. Yeah, yeah, I don't want that one. I'll say this. When you do go, when the film takes you to the donut shop and they're putting them out, I'm thinking, oh, I'd try all of those.
They look amazing.
They look amazing, yeah. Yes.
The best looking thing in the film. Excellent. Mark, what are you got for us next week?
So next week, we're going to be talking about a true story, a British true story called Phantom of the Open. It's about a guy from the north who decides to enter one of the golf's most prestigious tournaments, having never played golf in his life.
Oh, that sounds great. Yep. That sounds like me.
It's a true story. It's a true story as well. And then also, we're going to be talking about Clifford the Big Red Dog, because there is a film out about Clifford. And then also we will talk about the new Ben Affleck movie, Deep Water, which has been delayed time and time again. It is finally getting a release. So we will talk about that as well.
Hey, excellent. So there is another Red film. It was just a week late because last week we were excited to have Turning Red and Red Rocket in the same.
That's a good point.
Clifford.
That's a good point, yeah.
Early.
Oh, maybe we should have done Clifford the Big Red Dog this week. Just a week. No.
Oh, we'll blame the people at Clifford. bad dog.
I'm not blaming him. He's a big red dog. He's a massive red. Yeah. I'm not going to have a go at
someone
him
else wants to tell him off. Feel free.
We'll just continue the red theme into next week.
We will. That's the plan. I'll bring a red dog lead and we'll take him on a stroll down the park.
Well, all the best with that.
Or he might take us.
I was going to say, that's more like it. That's more like it.
Film reviews and movie news with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.
Thanks for listening to Film Reviews and Movie News. We've been doing this little podcast for years now. Mark has watched and expertly reviewed hundreds of films, and I've made hundreds of terrible jokes. They're all available to listen to again if you subscribe to the Film Reviews and Movie News podcast. It's freely available wherever you get your podcasts from, or you can find all the latest episodes and everything else I do online at stuartpink.com.